I'm sitting here with the president of the well-known polling association, YouGov, Peter Kellner. Peter, I just want to begin by asking you, over here we're a wee bit detached sometimes from the national picture, what should us politicos be looking out for when we look at national polls, when we see them coming in? What should we be looking out for?
The first thing I'd look for is whether either Labour or Conservatives can break the deadlock. Our YouGov polls, we poll five times a week, so we've done, I think, 20 polls, maybe 17, 20 polls since New Year. Mm-hmm. Every single one has had Labour and Conservative close together, all by one or two. They've been within 1 point of each other. That's deadlock. Unless that deadlock's broken, we're going to have a messy outcome to the general election in May. So the first thing is, do Labour and Conservative take a sustained lead of 5 or 6 points and keep it there? Mm-hmm. The second thing I'd look for is Scotland, because we had this extraordinary surge in support for the SNP after the referendum. So although the SNP lost the referendum battle, they may be on the way to winning the political war, because on the current polling figures, the SNP could take 30, 35 seats off Labour, and that wrecks Labour's chance of being the largest party in Westminster. I would expect Labour to recover to some extent in Scotland, but they haven't yet. And every week that passes with no swing back to Labour, then the SNP must be more and more confident they really will replace Labour as Scotland's biggest party, not just in Holyrood, but in Westminster.
So at this stage, I mean, you've been doing polling for years. At this stage, let's just take a look at the two main leaders. David Cameron, at this stage in the election, is he in a good position for a prime minister at this stage, at this close to an election? We're 98 days out. Is he in a good position?
Historically, Conservative prime ministers going into an election can expect to pick up 2 or 3 percentage points in support in the last 3 months. So if that pattern repeats itself, the Conservatives will come out ahead in May, not necessarily enough to win an outright majority, but enough to be the largest party. But of course, history records are there to be broken, and so none of us can be certain whether it will happen this time. David Cameron has got two big things going for him. When people are asked who'd make the better prime minister, Cameron beats Miliband heads down. Secondly, when people are asked who do you trust more on the economy, the Conservatives beat Labour hands down. So you think, well, then surely the Conservatives should be heading voting attention. They're not, because the Conservatives also have some big drawbacks. People think they're out of touch. They're a party for the rich, not for ordinary people. And the Conservatives are distrusted on the National Health Service, which is the biggest single domestic policy issue beyond the economy, which is why it's deadlocked. So David Cameron has something he can build on, but there's some negatives he's got to deal with.
What about Ed Miliband? For a Labour leader of the opposition, how's, at this stage, 98 days out, how is he for an opposition leader?
Labour opposition leaders at this stage really need to be way out in front. Their party needs to be way out in front to be confident of victory, and Labour isn't way out in front. And most people do not see Ed Miliband as a potential Prime Minister. They don't think he's up to the job. On the other hand, they do think Ed Miliband is pretty honest. They quite like him. They think he's much more in touch with their everyday lives than David Cameron. And he's making some progress, talking about the health service, saying living standards aren't recovering with the economy. It's a recovery for the rich, not the many. Energy prices need to be brought down. So again, just like David Cameron has some things he can build on, there are things Ed Miliband can build on. But he does need to get going and building on them if Labour is to come out ahead.
There's been a lot of talk over here today, particularly with the TV debates, the DUP being excluded. I just want to talk to you about last year. Last election was the first time we had TV debates. Did they have a really sizable impact on the way, on people's voting intentions, or did it really, was it just something that caught people's attention at the time, but when they went to cast their vote, people just reverted the type?
Let's look at what happened last time. The first of the three debates had a seismic effect. Nick Clegg was seen to win hands down. Overnight, the Lib Dems went from around 20% support to around 30% support. On election day, they ended up with 24%. So they lost a lot of the gains they made after the first debate. My personal judgment is, without the debates, they would not have got to 24%. They'd have been around 21, 22%. and the debates, therefore, in my judgment, cost the Conservatives outright victory. I can't prove that, and other people looking at the same data will come to other judgments. But I believe that, yes, because of the debates, we have a coalition and not a Conservative majority government.
Okay, so obviously in terms of that, what about for a minor party going? Because obviously UKIP, the Greens, SNP are going to be in at this time. Is this really a big opportunity for them, or do you think that that really a big debate like this will have really no impact on the overall dynamic?
That's an interesting question. The answer is I don't know. If you have two of the three debates with six or seven participants, I think they're going to be difficult to watch. I think they're going to be quite deadening because you can't get real interaction. You won't get the drama you had, let us say, a few months ago when you had Alex Salmond, Dallas O'Darling debating heads to head, and there's a real cut and thrust. They were very dramatic. You can't get that drama with six people standing at podiums, all got their minutes or 90 seconds or 30 seconds. And I think a lot of viewers will get quite bored. On the other hand, they may attract fairly substantial audiences, and it's an opportunity for the Greens and UKIP and Plaid Cymru and the SNP, you know, to make some kind of impact. So I don't know. I think the real problem will be for the Nick Clegg, Ed Miliband, and if he takes part, David Cameron, because I think they will find it awkward to be debating as if they are equals with the leader of the UKIP, Nigel Farage, or the leader of the Greens, Natalie Bennett. And the public might find that they think there's more to be said for the smaller parties. So, again, I'm sorry to be so indecisive. But one of the interesting things will be to see whether such debates have a big impact or not. I'm not sure they will. My betting is they won't have that big an impact, but I'm not sure. Okay.
Now, you've been looking at polls over the last few months. Just a big talk over here, the DUP and parties like the SDP may hold the balance of power. Do you think that that's maybe an overinflated sense of the position that they might have? Obviously, it's hard to predict until we see the seats, but do you think that, I mean, most polls you see actually show the SNP and the Liberal Democrats mostly doing it. Do you think that Northern Ireland parties will really play that bigger role?
It depends on the arithmetic. DUP won't hold the balance of power in the simple sense of saying, well, they have a simple choice, do they make Ed Miliband or David Cameron Prime Minister after the election? It'll be much more sort of subtle and complicated than that. But let me give you one possible scenario. David Cameron, leading the Conservatives, they get, say, 302 seats. So they're 20-odd short of a majority. And the Lib Dems demand a very high price, which David Cameron doesn't want to pay for another coalition. Well, if he can get the DUP on side, not necessarily a formal coalition, but just what's called a confidence supply arrangement, an agreement that they will vote with the Conservatives when it really matters on budgets and so on the Queen's Speech, then that takes the Tories, if the DUP, let us say, have nine, that takes the Tories up above 310. Well, that's probably enough to govern, at least for a while. So, will the DUP hold the balance of power? No. Are there circumstances in which they might be influential, where their support might be courted, either by David Cameron or by Ed Miliband? Yes, that definitely could happen.
Okay, one final question before I let you go. How important, there'll be a four-week campaign, obviously, when David Cameron goes to the country. How important, it's like the 97 election campaign, the election was pretty much decided by the time John Major called the election. What about this time? Will those 4 weeks be, how critical will those 4 weeks be to deciding the final outcome?
At the moment, it looks incredibly close. And of course, when things are incredibly close, anything that happens could be decisive. When Andy Murray hits the ball over the net and it looks like it's heading for the line, a little gust of wind might take him out or keep the ball in. So you say the gust of wind is decisive. It's the closeness which is the big thing. And if it's that close, then the campaign really will matter.
Okay. Peter Callender, thanks so much for your time.